another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 23rd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's joy as we continue to move through this Easter season, as we celebrate and look at the readings for this coming weekend, the sixth Sunday of Easter. We've only got two more weeks in the Easter season. Next week, we will look at the readings for the Ascension. And the week after that, we will look at the readings for Pentecost, which, of course, brings this wonderful 50-day season to a conclusion. But we are still looking at just that progression through John's Gospel. For those who like to follow along, here are the readings we're going to look at. And today, we're going to look at all three, because there's a nice thread, especially through the first and the second reading. So I thought, hey, you know, we'll have more of the Word of God, less of my own word. And that's never a bad thing. So here's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to look at Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 2. Then there'll be a large portion that we skip, and I'll kind of talk about that. And then verses 22 to 29. All right, so that's the first reading. Second reading will come from the book of Revelation, not far after what we read. Last week we read out of the early part of chapter 21. Today we read out of the later parts. It's chapter 21, book of Revelation 10 to 14. Then again we skip a chunk and go 22 to 23. So that really kind of gets to the conclusion of all of Scripture. Because chapter 21 of Revelation, if memory serves me well, is the last chapter in all of Scripture. Then we're going to go to Gospel of John again. We've been hearing a lot from the Gospel of John. This will be the final one, I think, because Ascension and Pentecost will focus on other things. Well, Pentecost we might. But anyway, this week, John 14, chapters or verses 23 to 29. All right. Easter season. We still celebrate the resurrected Christ in our midst today. We celebrate not only the event that took place 2,000 years ago, but that pattern that our God shares and shows to all of us, in which we participate. So however it is, brothers and sisters, that you prepare yourself to hear and receive the Word of God well, I invite you to do that at this time as we enter into this place, this moment, to open ourselves to the Word of God. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. "The apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, who went out without any mandate from us, have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there is a lot going on in that reading behind the scenes and even in the middle. Remember, there was a big chunk that we left out. But as always, brothers and sisters, if there was a thought, if there was a question, if there was an idea, if there was an image, whatever is going on within you, if something is happening there, let the Word of God, let the Spirit of God, let it just churn, let it work what it needs to work on within you. Let that idea, that phrase, that thought, that image, let it just sit and percolate, okay? And let the Spirit of God speak. Let's move on to the second reading. A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates where 12 angels were stationed and on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stone as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And again, same thought, you know, if there's something that came to mind, and there's lots of imagery in Revelation, my goodness, just let it do what it needs to do, okay? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our dwelling within them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Especially with that gospel, right? You can see it's pointing exactly where we're going to celebrate in these next 2 weeks. That Jesus is going from them, and he's preparing them for that. And so next week, we're going to see that going with the ascension. But he says, don't worry. One, rejoice, because I'm going to the Father. And two, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you alone. I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to celebrate that 2 weeks from now. And if there are moments, brothers and sisters, that you feel alone, remember this reading. Remember this reading that we are never alone. That Spirit of God continues to reside within and among us. That is such good news. And it is so true. It is as true today as it was for those disciples all those years ago. All right? I'm really going to focus on the first two readings, even more than the gospel. But I think it's important that we remember that we are not alone. We may feel it. We may feel like, I don't know enough. I'm not ready. Brothers and sisters, our God thinks you're ready. We're going to talk more about that next week. Okay. So let's go back to this first reading. Chapter 15, Acts. If you think about one set of words, one phrasing with chapter 15 of Acts, it's always this, the Council of Jerusalem. You know, we're familiar with the phrase the Second Vatican Council or the First Vatican Council or the Council of Trent or the Council of, Constantinople, or all these councils that the church has had, these gathering of generally bishops and archbishops. It all stems from this first council, the Council of Jerusalem, which takes place in chapter 15. And the discernment of the council is that big chunk that we are leaving. So here's the background information. And I think I alluded to this, whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't recall which week. But Paul and Barnabas are going throughout the northern Mediterranean seaboard, and they are speaking this new word into these Gentile communities. Okay, remember, they're going deep into the Roman Empire. They're moving beyond just Antioch, although Antioch is a very Jewish neighborhood. And that's going to come into play with today's story. But anyway, they're going all along the Mediterranean seaboard, and they're speaking this new idea, this idea that the fulfillment of the Judaic promise has been filled, that Jesus has come, the Messiah has come. And they're speaking it not only to the Jewish people, but to the Gentile people. And they're inviting everybody into this new phase of Judaism. I'll say it that way. Because I don't think they were attempting to begin a new religion. They were standing on the shoulders of Judaism. And they were saying, we are a branch of it, but we are still rooted in Judaism. Just as I think, brothers and sisters, you and I would say that today. Because we are rooted in our Judaic roots. But they are doing this, and other people are coming behind them after, and sometimes confronting them to their face, as we see here in the beginning of this chapter. They're saying, no, what these people are saying is wrong. So, what are Paul and Barnabas saying that is, I mean, honestly, it's mind-blowing. It is altering of the faith. They are saying that one does not have to accept the full Mosaic law to enter into this new idea, to be Christian Jews, if I may use that term. Because they're saying one doesn't have to be circumcised. Now, you and I may think, oh, that's not a big deal, and we may not understand the implications. But if you are a male, and let's say, you're, whether it's 15 years old, or whether you're 30 years old, or whether you're 50 years old, and you're saying you're being invited into this new idea, and you say, this sounds great, but then they say you have to be circumcised. Let that image just sit with you. That may be a deal breaker, right? And what Paul and Barnabas are saying is, no, we don't need any of those outer things. This idea of accepting and understanding this new relationship with Christ is an inner idea that must, yes, come to be an outer idea in how it is lived out. I mean, just look at what Jesus said in the gospel, right? Jesus said it very clearly. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and the Father will love him and will come to them and make our dwelling within them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. That, brothers and sisters, we fool ourselves if we think, if we say to ourselves that we are followers of Jesus and we do not keep Jesus's words. I love this image. It came to me in one of my morning meditations, I think a week ago, that, listen, if we are followers of Jesus, or we call ourselves followers of Jesus, but do not follow the commandments, do not follow his words, do not do any of that, then let's say what we are. We are fans of Jesus, but we are not followers. If we are followers, we are going to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, the grave, and to the new life that invites us. But if we simply admire Jesus and say, I love what he's pointing to and I love what he's saying, but I do not follow in those footsteps, then, brothers and sisters, we are merely fans. And let's call it what we need it, or what it is. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Am I a fan or am I a follower? And that's part of what Paul and Barnabas are getting to here, is they're saying, listen, if you are going to be a practicer, a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to follow. It needs to be an outward sign, but that outward sign doesn't need to be circumcision. And there's these people who were trying to undermine them, and there came to be a great debate. And ultimately, Paul and Barnabas said, okay, we're pretty sure we're right, but we got to go back and root ourselves in the 12 who are still in Jerusalem and make sure we're not going off base. So they go back there, and all of that counsel is what is omitted, but we hear the discernment of the counsel. So here's homework. Go back and read chapter 15, verses 3 to 21, which is the part that's omitted, and you can hear the debate, particularly Paul and Peter going back and forth. But then they come to a conclusion, and we hear that conclusion is what the letter is that's sent with Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Barsabbas, who go with them now, to say, listen, and this is the letter that comes with, the apostles and the elders, your brothers and sisters, of course, to the ones in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us. Now, those are the ones who are following Paul and Barnabas who are trying to undermine what they're saying. They're saying, hey, listen, we got nothing to do with that group. They don't have any mandate from us. They do not speak for us. This is our word. This is what we're speaking. Since these people have upset you with their teaching and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives, and they say Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas, to convey this message. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities. Here's the baseline of what it is to live the faith. And they mention four things that are kind of odd. Abstain from the meat sacrificed to idols. Abstain from, like, drinking blood. I mean, these are things that I guess the pagans would do at the time. That the Romans would do, eat meat sacrificed to idols. This is not something in our day and age we do. Abstain from the meats of strangled animals and from unlawful marriage. I think the only one that would apply to you and I would be the last one, right? I mean, these other ones are like, what? But they say, if you keep free of these, you'll be doing what is right. You'll be living within the law, capital T, capital L, which is this new law of Christ. All right? So they're saying, we don't want to burden you with all this extraneous things. This is what it means to be a disciple. Now, this is theirs back then. My question to you would be, what would you say if you were out inviting others to come into this Christian faith, which I hope, brothers and sisters, we do. I hope we do it with our lives. I hope we do it with our words. I hope we do it with our attitudes. I hope we do it with how we love one another. But if others ever ask us, what does it mean to be a Christian? What are those things that you would say, here's what it means? You may not, or you may or may not come up with four things like Paul did and Peter did and the council. But what would those things be to say, this is at baseline what it means to be a follower, not a fan, of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, here's the other thing I want to say from this reading that's so good to me anyway. Did you hear at the beginning of the reading when they said, listen, okay, this is us sending it to you, and we're sending it with Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Barsabbas, or Judas and Silas. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and us. I love that image, brothers and sisters. We hear it said oftentimes that, hey, listen, the Catholic Church isn't a democracy. And really, that's true. But, I mean, it's often used to say, listen, if you don't like a teaching, just shut up. Just deal with it. And that's not what's being said here either. What it's being said is, brothers and sisters, the life of the church and how we live our faith needs to be a dance between the Holy Spirit and us. It's a dance and a discernment between us as individuals with the whole and the Holy Spirit, with how we live our individual lives. It is a dance between us and the church with how we live that. It is a dance collectively in our relationships, our relationship with our spouse and the Holy Spirit and how we live that. It is a relationship and our family and the Holy Spirit in how we live out this life. It is a relationship of the church in the world of how we live this out. Brothers and sisters, it is always us and the Holy Spirit in how we discern what is happening with that. And the church would agree with this, by the way. And the church is part of that discernment as well. We cannot simply say to the church, sorry, it is just me and the Spirit, and what you say has nothing to do with it. No, the church and her wisdom is part of that discernment. But it is not the only voice in that discernment. It is an active, not a passive. It is being told to me and I have to live by it. Brothers and sisters, and that's why faith can be scary, because we have to enter into it with our own intellect, our own will, our own good intentions, not just selfish intentions to say, I want to get what I want, but our openness to being taken to places we may or may not want to go, because where the Spirit will invite us, where the church will invite us, can be scary. But we discern the voice of the church, the voice of the Spirit, our own voice, the voice of my spouse, the voice of my family, that is all part of this dance. Do you know what we call that in the modern church today? We call it a synod. A synod. You may have heard that word before, because Pope Francis speaks of it. And now Pope Leo has already mentioned it numerous times. And it's a scary place, because it's not a settled place. It's not a place that says we have it figured out and this and forever and always and amen will be what it is. It's a point in the ground that is firm and from which we will never alter. The only things on that I would say that are never alterable are the dogma of the church, which is that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully human, that the triune God is real. You know, things like that are never changing. But brothers and sisters, how we live that out in the world will always change, because the Spirit is active. And if you and I are looking for a sedentary religion, a religion that is grounded and will never move, I don't know that this reading will fall on you well, because it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and us that things need to be different. And Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas bring this to the people. Want to go to the second reading, and then I'll just kind of speak a little bit to it, and then bring us to prayer. But brothers and sisters, what I love about this second reading, two things. So again, we say this is John who is writing, whether it is the community of John, most likely, writing that much later. But it says John was taken up into this great high mountain and showed this new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens, right? We heard about that last week too, in which God dwells and said there will be no more mourning and tears and weeping and wailing, and that God will wipe every tear from our eyes and live in our midst. And the one on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That this is this new city coming down. And that, brothers and sisters, whether, and this is my first point, that we may feel like we're living in a place that has no hope and that has darkness. But this, if Revelation is anything, it's not a book that should scare us. It is a book that reminds us that God is one, and that all things will be made new, and that there is always hope, because this new eternal Jerusalem is out there, and it is yet coming. We live in that place right now between the now and the not yet. It is not finished, brothers and sisters. We have not seen the end. In the end, all things will be well, right? And if they are not all well yet, then it is not the end. That this gives us hope. Revelations gives us hope. This new and eternal Jerusalem in which God dwells with us, that's coming. It's coming. And we get to help pave the way, right? Through that outward action by being followers of Jesus, that God invites us to participate. More on that next week. But the other thing I want to talk about, this New Jerusalem, is just this almost offhanded comment that it says, this new and eternal Jerusalem has 12 gates, and 12 angels were stationed at each one, and there were 3 gates facing east and 3 north and 3 south and 3 west. Meaning, brothers and sisters, it faces in all directions, and people will stream to it, like the holy mountain in Isaiah 25. They'll stream to it from all directions, from all walks of life, from all creeds and all locations. This new and eternal Jerusalem is open to all who will come. Are we ready to invite all? Are we okay with that? Because all are invited. You know, I know in some dioceses, unfortunately, I'll say that because that's my judgment, that the song All Are Welcome is not sung or invited, and I find that sad because all are welcome. This reading magnifies and reminds us of that. That at the table, at that final banquet in the kingdom of heaven, there will be people that look like us and act like us, and there will be people that do not look like us and act like us, but all are one in Christ Jesus. There are gates that are facing north and south and east and west. And does our heart rejoice at that? Or does it get anxious at that? It's a good place to finish. There's so much in these readings. They are so rich. And I could go on longer, but this is plenty long. Let's bring all this, brothers and sisters, to prayer. We're going to back up and start at the glorious mysteries again today. And there's a reason for it. But let's do that. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first glorious mystery, Jesus is risen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. May your week ahead be filled with every good joy. Be well, and Godspeed.